Dr. Stan, welcome back.
It's good to be with you, Stan.
Hey, you know, you have turned out to be one of our more popular speakers.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that. Just go as you really can fool most of the people most of the time.
What a very humble remark. Good for you. Bless you, brother. Well, you know, out of 113 speakers, when I could say you're one of the more popular speakers, that's quite a compliment.
Well, I appreciate that. And, we try to do our best. We've been at this for 43 years now. I got started back in 1962, well over half a lifetime. And, you know, we keep learning all the time. And it's some of this whole issue, the idea that there is a planned program to depopulate the world, to cut back on the population of countries all throughout the world and right here in the United States, seems so absurd that even after being in this for almost 30 years, I found this concept difficult to believe.
It's almost hard to believe.
Anything could be that evil.
Oh, yeah.
But when you begin to read the writings of the people on the other side, they tell you exactly what they're going to do. And if you read Bertrand Russell's The Impact of Science on Society, it came out in 1953, or the quotations from Jacques Cousteau, or you even go to Elberton, Georgia, and see the Georgia Guidestones there with this occult monument. They call it the American Stonehenge or the Georgia Guidestones. And they're chiseled in stone in 8 different languages in a monument that is dedicated to Thomas Paine. Is the inscription to maintain the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature, which doesn't sound too bad until you realize they're going to have to kill off over 90% of the world's population, and they are really planning to do it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. All right. Well, let's jump into the first topic, and this is a topic that's hot in the news these days, and that is this Vioxx. Now, you remember the story. This guy's a triathlon runner. And all of a sudden, he dies of a heart attack. Tell us, what is going on with Vioxx?
Well, certainly, if you want to know what's really going on with Vioxx, you need to get Dr. Graham's testimony. Dr. Graham was the assistant chief of the Department of Drug Safety at the Federal Drug Administration. And in November of last year, he went before the Senate, risked his future, risked his job, risked his pension to tell the American people the truth about Vioxx. And here's basically what he said. Merck Company had done extensive studies with this and found that if you took low-dose Vioxx for a period of time, your incidence of heart attack went up 700%. 700% if you took low-dose Vioxx. Merck didn't tell the FDA, and the product was put on the market without any warning at all, and then they continued doing new studies. Now, the first study, I believe, was the 009-0 study. Then they did another study, and here Merck figured, well, we know that the product that's put out by Pfizer, Celebrex, also increases the incidence of heart disease, so what we'll do is we'll compare Vioxx to Celebrex. And, we'll find out that ours is no worse than theirs. And, of course, the figures will look good because their figures will be high and our figures will be high. But we can say, well, see, we're no different than any other COX-2 inhibitor. So they ran a study, and, of course, what they found with high-dose Vioxx, why they had 3.5 times higher incidence of heart attack than you had with Celebrex, and Celebrex was 4 or 5 times as high as you would simply with nothing at all. So they knew what they were dealing with, but how are they going to keep this from the American people? And people were dying, and according to Dr. Graham, he estimates there have been at least 80,000 heart attacks with 30 to 40% of the people dying. He mentions that there are other studies that are suggesting as many as 160,000 Americans had either heart attacks or strokes directly attributed to the use of Vioxx in this country. Dr. Graham talks about 30 to 40% of the people who have the heart attacks will die as a result of it, and the others will have certainly a damage to their heart or brains, and their lives will never be the same again. Now, why would Merck do something like that? Well, not only that, there's an article, and I have it. It's either in the New York Times or in the Wall Street Journal. I can't recall which one, but it talked about what Merck did to cover up their criminal activity. And they have detailed people who go out to doctors' offices. And so when the detailed person would come into the doctor's office, and the doctor might have heard some rumbles about the relationship between heart attack and the use of Vioxx, and so the doctor would ask the detail man or woman, usually they have a very attractive woman, incidentally, and he would ask them, and they were told, well, we really are not prepared to answer that question, but the company wants you to write them and ask about that question, and they will give you the information. So then the doctor, and most doctors don't have time to write to a company to get information, but those who were foolish enough to write to Merck to get the information about the relationship between Vioxx and heart attack and stroke would be told, well, we don't have the information. You write to the FDA. So then, of course, very few doctors would write to the FDA, but if they did, the FDA would say, well, we don't have any information about this, because, of course, the truth was Merck was not telling the FDA what they were coming up with. They were giving them some of the figures, but not most of them, and most of these had to be done by separate studies, some actually put together by the FDA, and, of course, they found this terrible, terrible story. Now, this only makes sense if you understand there is a genocidal agenda, because Merck has laid itself open to tremendous lawsuits. Now, the Bush administration, because they're subservient to the drug companies, has passed new legislation that is blocking these class action suits, as against Merck and Pfizer and these other criminal drug companies that are out there, from being heard in state courts. So they're going to have to be put together in federal courts because the Bush administration, and not just the Bush administration, both the Democrats and Republican parties are corrupt at the top. They figure that they can fix the federal judges much easier than they can the state judges. We have a corrupt system, and Merck and Pfizer have been killing people. And the thing is, it's not all about profit. If you think it's about profit, you've really missed the genocidal agenda that's out there. You need to get Jacques Cousteau's statement quoted in the November issue of UNESCO Courier. And we actually have this both in English and in French, where Jacques Cousteau is talking about overpopulation of the world and how we're going to have to eliminate 350,000 people a day. That's 350,000 people a day. And they're doing a pretty good job of it. I mean, they're killing them with the AIDS epidemic. We're not trying to stop the AIDS epidemic. If we were, 40% of the women who are pregnant in Botswana, and they're all tested, they would do routine testing in Botswana. We don't do routine testing in the United States. But, in Africa, they could do routine testing on every pregnant woman. Over 40% of them are infected. Now, this is either the greatest failure of public health or the most successful genocidal policy. Which is it? Well, the definition of insanity is if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, and it's always failing to continue doing that and expect a different result, is a mark of insanity. And so what are the public health officials from the World Health Organization doing? They're continuing the same failed policy in Botswana. And instead of doing routine testing, trying to identify who has the disease and try to stop its spread, they're just telling people to use condoms, protect yourself, knowing full well that they don't work for most things. In fact, if condoms worked, we would not have 65 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease. We have 65 million Americans in our country today with a sexually transmitted viral disease, and they tell us condoms are safe? Come on now. What is so difficult, I think, for the average person listening, Stan, is to believe there really is evil in the world, but it's not only there. It is organized and it's working at the highest levels of the CDC. And I know because I've been there and I've talked to these people, and some of these people are frankly evil.
Okay, let's jump on to vaccinations. I know that's one of your favorite topics.
Yes, I think it's very important because most people, most physicians, do support a routine childhood vaccinations and the other vaccinations. And I would like to say that I think that certain vaccinations have been very beneficial. I think that we have done away with smallpox, one of the great accomplishments of all time. And certainly, we've certainly done away with most polio. And this was a great accomplishment, except for the fact, and this is one of the things that has been kept from the American people, except for the fact that with the original vaccine, was the Sabin vaccine and then the Salk vaccine. The original vaccine was grown, the virus was grown in a culture of the kidney of the rhesus monkey. And what happened was that they found out that there were monkey viruses in the vaccine, because after all, they couldn't kill the vaccine, couldn't kill the virus, and so they had to leave all the monkey viruses in there, and one of them was a cancer virus. It was known as SV40, simian virus 40. It was the 40th monkey virus they found in the polio vaccine that they gave to the American people.
Are you saying that most people that took the vaccinations may have got them?
I'm
from
saying that
their
they not only may, they
may,
did.
They may have got cancer from the vaccinations?
They got the simian virus 40, which was known to produce cancer in all animals. It was known to produce cancer in hamsters and every other animal it was put into. And it eventually became obvious that they had contaminated the entire population. Now, the types of tumors would be certainly blood tumors and the mesotheliomas. And, of course, there's been a marked rise in mesotheliomas. In fact, there's been a marked increase in cancer. You go back to 1909, one in every 33 people got cancer. Today, it's one in every three. As soon as it will be every other person will get cancer. And many of these cancers, when they evaluate them, they find that they contain this cancer-producing virus, SV40. They cannot let the American people know that. This is covered in several books. There's a wonderful book put out by the National Institute of Health. It's called The Health Century, written by Dr. Shorter, who was given access to all of the records of the National Institute of Health because he was going to say what a great job they'd done. But Dr. Shorter had one defect. He told the truth. And he told the story I've just put out about how we contaminated, first of all, most of Russia with this experimental vaccine, and then most of the United States with it. And even after they knew the cancer virus was there, why they continued using it, because they wanted to use up the supplies, and of course continued giving it throughout the world. And today, so many of the people who have cancer, why if you check those cancers out, they have the SV40 in them. There's another book called The Virus and the Vaccine for your listeners out there who want to check it out. The two books I mentioned, The Health Century by Edward Shorter and The Virus and the Vaccine, those books will tell you the story that has been totally suppressed by the controlled media because they want the American people to continue taking the vaccine. And they're afraid if you knew the truth, you wouldn't trust the government. Now, when they found out what had happened, that the rhesus monkey contained the simian virus 40, then they changed over to the green monkey. And they began growing the vaccine in the kidney tissue of the green monkey, only they had a cytomegalic virus. So then we got all the cytomegalic viruses, the herpes-like viruses, from the green monkeys. And they can't tell the American people the truth. That's the tragedy. A wonderful thing doing away with polio, and look at the skyrocketing rates of cancer in America today. But let's get to the childhood vaccines, because I think this is an important issue. And the average doctor has never heard the truth. And the truth of the matter is that before they ever brought in the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis vaccine, the incidence of death from these diseases has fallen somewhere between 94 and 99%. The incidence of death from measles, which I think was maybe 1,100 cases a year about 1909, had dropped to 33 cases a year by 1966 when we brought in the measles vaccine. The problem is that there are all sorts of complications for taking the measles vaccine, and a certain number of children who take the measles vaccine become autistic, and of course the people, children who have been taking the DPT, many of these have become autistic as well. The incidence of autism in the United States has increased from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 165. And not only that, but of course many of the children that have attention deficit disorders, or they have attention deficit hyperactivity disorders, or they have a reading disability, or they have writing disability, it's estimated that 1 in 6 children in the United States today has either a neurodevelopmental or a behavioral abnormality. and this never existed to this extent before. 1 in 10,000 was the figure of autism. Today it's 1 in 165. It is directly related in many instances either to the mercury that they put into the vaccines, and they knew that this was terribly toxic. Back in the early 1960s when I first went to medical practice, we had something called methylate. We used to put it on the skin. It was red, and you put it around the wounds and sterilize the skin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they stopped doing that. I never really knew why. Nobody ever told me when I was practicing medicine, except one day you couldn't buy it anymore. The reason that they stopped doing it is because it was giving children mercury poisoning, and they were getting symptoms of mercury poisoning from the use of methylate. So they stopped putting it on the skin, and they put it into the vaccines. And they put in amounts would be up to 85 times the maximum amount allowable for a child. In fact, we gave this to the children at the newborn nursery in the hepatitis B vaccine. And back as early as 1991, they knew they were giving them 85 times the acceptable dose of mercury, all at one time, to a newborn child in the nursery. And if they were preemies, why, even a higher percentage dose. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they've continued that, and they've destroyed the minds of a whole generation of our children. This mercury is not excreted. Now, not every child with these high doses of mercury will develop, the autism. But what's happened is that there have been recent studies done in monkeys where you give them the shot, the vaccines, or comparable amounts of thimerosal, and they don't excrete this. The mercury is locked into the brain. And then as these children, young children who already have overloaded with mercury in their brains, but they're able to compensate for it. Why then as they begin to ingest the tuna and the other meats that are high in mercury and the mercury that you find in the water and in the air, why a lot of these people will end up with mercury toxicity? We've destroyed a whole generation of our children, and they know it, and they're lying about it. And the CDC has actually put out over $190 million to conceal the truth about this. And you, Dr. Mark Geyer and Dr. David Geyer, or I shouldn't say doctor, but Dr. Mark Geyer and his son David Geyer, have got the information on this. They know the government knows, and they're simply lying and covering it up. There are a number of congressmen. Dr. David Weldon is on the front lines of this whole controversy. Your listeners could contact him, or they could certainly get hold of Congressman Dan Burton. They have the information. But the organized effort on the part of the media, the New York Times, and the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post to cover this up is criminal, and our children's lives, many of them, have been destroyed forever.
Wow. Well, I knew it was bad, but I didn't know it was that bad.
It is. And, of course, the other thing is that we've seen skyrocketing rates of juvenile diabetes. We've seen skyrocketing rates of asthma. We've seen skyrocketing rates of allergies. And you can bring a child from Mexico or some other country in the United States, and they're fairly healthy. And then they begin to get their asthma and their allergies. And, of course, some of them will get their autism. But, you know, most of them are a little older. They may be 5, 6, 7, and they're not getting these tremendous doses of toxic mercury.
Well, now, doctor, we need to say in there that they can resist taking these by simply using the old it's against my religion excuse. Is
yes, you certainly can.
Yes,
and the other thing for your listeners out there, if you have an autistic child or a child with a learning or reading disability, let me point out that there is treatment. If you read the New York Times, you read the regular media, they will tell you, oh, you don't want to chelate your child. You don't want to put them on special diets. That's all quackery. And, of course, they're lying. Many of these children's lives can be repaired. Many of the children can be returned to almost a normal status if they get into treatment early, if you chelate them and get the mercury out of their bodies. But you see, they don't want parents to know that.
All right.
And
now,
the doctors
let me come back to that. I just had a conversation with somebody the other day talking about chelation. What is chelation?
Well, chelation is a vehicle by which you can pull the heavy metals out of the body. And, of course, you can get out lead, you can get out mercury, you can get out other of the heavy metals.
Okay, how do you do that?
Well, there's several ways of doing it, but there is a wonderful method that you have now. Rather than actually having to, give something intravenously, you can simply put something on the skin and that is a little out of my field of expertise, but they put this on the skin, it's absorbed, and it gets the metal, it releases the metal, and the child excretes it. And they're actually able to measure the massive amounts of mercury going out in the urine. And every effort is being done to discourage doctors from doing this and to label the doctors who are doing it and saving the lives of these children as quacks. And all you need to do is realize that the New York Times and Time Magazine and the other major periodicals, all controlled by the I call the cult hierarchy.
All right, let me jump in here. I mean, I hate to cut in here, but you've got three other videotapes, or actually two other videotapes, and I think we need to talk about those too. One of the most popular 9/11 video that we have is 9/11 Contrived. And you've only got about 60 seconds here. Briefly tell us about that video and also Secrets of the Illuminati.
Well, they're simply my analysis of what happened on 9/11. We haven't been told the truth. There was prior knowledge, I know, because I talked to the press secretary for Mayor Willie Brown of San Francisco, who told me Willie Brown was notified the night before to be careful flying on September 11th, and everything has been done to cover that up. There's so much more in there, and I hope your listeners will want to get 9/11 Contrived and the Secrets of the Illuminati, which will take you into the occult background, the secret societies that really rule the world today.
Stan, welcome back to the Prophecy Club.
It's good to be with you, Stan.
All right, we were going to talk about aspartame, Splenda. Let's start with that. Aspartame and Splenda, what's the difference between the two?
Well, the aspartame is a combination of methanol, which is a poison, aspartic acid, which is an essential amino acid, but in any volume it's very neurotoxic, and phenylalanine, which is an amino acid, certainly toxic. But put the three of them together, and you come up with something called aspartame, or more commonly known as NutraSweet. Now, this works very, very similar to MSG. And back about 1970, a Dr. Olney, who was a scientist, did experiments to find out what happened when he gave this to animals. And what they found out was that if you gave either MSG or aspartame to animals, then you followed them along, first of all, they developed pathological obesity. They knew there was a definite relation to pathological obesity. So for 15 years, actually from about 1970 to 1981, why the FDA opposed releasing this. They knew it produced brain cancers and tumors, it affected the fertility of animals. It had also sorts of effects. It created tumors, it created tumors of the thyroid, of the uterus, and of the ovary, and certainly of the testicle. And they knew that it was carcinogenic, certainly it produced brain cancers. They knew these products were terribly, terribly damaging. And they knew they actually destroyed, had an effect on the mentality of the brain. They would produce convulsions. And yet, they released them in 1981. Now, why were they released? Well, this was the time when Ronald Reagan was coming in, and a member of the transition team was a man named Donald Rumsfeld. He was the president of J.D. Ossero at the time, and they had the patent on aspartame. They've been trying to get it released as a food additive for many years, and the FDA had refused to do it. Why? Because they knew it produced brain lesions. Now, one of the things they did, Dr. Olney had done when he did his rat experiments, is when they sacrificed the rats, why they found out they had specific brain lesions. The excitotoxins in both aspartame and MSG destroy brain tissue, and they produce these specific areas that led to the pathological obesity. Today you hear all the talk, oh, look at how many of our children are fat. Oh, it's McDonald's fault. It's the fault of the Colonel. Colonel Sanders is doing this. They know very well, of course, what's doing it. They just don't want the American people to know. And this disrupts the endocrine system. This attacks every aspect of the body. And Dr. Russell Blaylock's written a wonderful book called Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. There's a wonderful book by Dr. Roberts, Aspartame, The Forgotten Disease. You can go up on the Internet and find all sorts of references to these products and their toxicity. And yet they've been released on the American people. And when you drink your Diet Coke and you drink so many of your diet products, they have toxic doses of this product there. And there is no question that this produces damage to the neurological system. It influences fertility, and women will have a great deal of difficulty getting pregnant. But you see, if you look upon this as a means of population control, and it has an effect on the male and the sperm, on the male sperm, and on the, certainly on the ability of women to conceive, then you could understand, if you believe in population control, why it's so important. We don't let the American people know that they're poisoning our children. They know exactly what they do. MSG and aspartame work through exactly the same channels in the brain and throughout the rest of the body. And, of course, soy products have a very deleterious effect. MSG, is glutamate is the active ingredient in MSG, and that comes from soy. So they're progressively poisoning the American people, and people say, that couldn't happen in America. And I would say, why not? If you wanted to destroy a nation, is there any better way than to put your people into the Federal Drug Administration and conceal the truth from the American people? There are a lot of people out there who know what we're talking about, but the general media isn't going to tell you this, and you're not going to hear this on the establishment channels, either the conservative talk shows or the liberal talk shows. You're only going to hear this on alternative medicine. Now, Splenda is a new product. Splenda actually is a chlorinated hydrocarbon. It's made from sugar, and they simply break it down, and they add a chlorine molecule to it. And I wouldn't take Splenda, too. I don't think it's as bad for you as certainly as aspartame and NutraSweet, but it is down the line. It'll get you into all sorts of problems. Chlorinated hydrocarbons have tremendous toxicity when used in large numbers, and some of the companies are taking the NutraSweet out of their diet drinks and substituting Splenda.
Okay,
you'd
what
be better
about,
off simply with sugar.
Well, what about stevia? Why don't they use stevia?
Because it isn't so harmful. That's the problem. You see, stevia is not harmful, and this is a natural product, been around for a long time, so they're not going to put things in there that are not going to harm you. And you say, nobody would do that. Why, they'd be laying themselves open to lawsuits. Well, I wonder how many of you people in your audience know that there are class action lawsuits that are being brought against the people who are putting this out, and they're being information is being totally suppressed by the control.
Okay, now let me just throw in a plug for stevia. I use stevia.
Right.
I mean, and you can get it to your local health food store.
Sure.
It doesn't cost very much. And I know that some people say, it doesn't taste too good. It leaves an aftertaste in your mouth. Well, the brand that I use, which I can't remember, if I could, I probably wouldn't tell you on the radio anyway, does not leave any kind of an aftertaste. However, would it be worth, even if it did, I don't think it does, but even if it did leave an aftertaste, would it be worth keeping your brain and not getting overweight and dying early and getting cancer and all the other things, in other words, would that be worth getting a little bit of an aftertaste to avoid those? And the answer should obviously be yes. Now the other thing I want to make a point on, if they were really not trying to reduce the population, if it was just about money, they would be using stevia, because stevia doesn't cost any more. I mean, I haven't done all the numbers research, but it's like 30 times sweeter than sugar, and it's natural. They could bring the price down, maybe even below sugar. They could do that if they weren't having an agenda to reduce the population. Right, Stan?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things we see is so many girls now are going through menarche. In other words, they're beginning to go through adolescence, beginning to have their periods much younger. And this is another thing that that this actually does. The product in aspartame actually attacks the pineal gland and actually causes early menarche. So does, of course, the fluoride that they're putting in our water and in so many of the other products. The pineal gland is being attacked, is being damaged, and this is causing the premature adolescence of so many of our girls and earlier sexual activity. And they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. And all of this is carefully documented. I wouldn't get up and make these statements. The documentation weren't readily available, or you can go up on the Internet and get the material. It's all there.
Okay, now what kind of a doctor are you?
I'm an orthopedic surgeon, where I was for almost 50 years. I'm retired now and spending full time trying to educate the American people about what's going on and the fact that many of the medications that the doctors are giving out are harmful, and not because the doctors would do anything to harm you. I never knew a doctor who would intentionally harm a patient, but they're not getting the accurate information from their medical journals, which are financed by the drug companies, at the medical meetings, which are largely financed by the drug companies, or by many of their medical organizations, which are subsidized by the drug companies.
Okay, let's stay in that same drug company vein. What else are the drug companies putting out that is harming people?
Oh, the statin drugs. I mean, this is one of the most incredible scams I've ever seen.
When I went to medical, is that what you take to lose lower cholesterol, the statin drug?
Oh,
well, really?
Yeah. Basically, the liver produces cholesterol. In other words, our body produces cholesterol because we need it. You can also take some in and get cholesterol by eating fatty foods. But your liver produces cholesterol and brings your body into balance. Well, when I went to medical school, why the upper limits of normal for cholesterol was 280. Then, of course, when I was practicing medicine, they lowered it to 230, and they said, oh, we've got to get the cholesterol level down because there's a relationship between cholesterol and heart disease. And there is a relationship, but it's not necessarily a causal relationship. In other words, the same thing that produces the heart disease and heart attacks may very well impact on the cholesterol levels, but 50% of the people who have heart attacks do not have them related to cholesterol. They have them related to inflammation in the body, and you can measure that with C-reactive protein. So 50% of the people who have heart attacks, it's in no way related to the cholesterol. And Dr. Blaylock's material, Dr. Russell Blaylock, who's a frequent guest on my program, his material is excellent to bring out this whole incredible story. But anyway, they came out with this wonderful idea. We're going to poison the liver with Lipitor and Crestor and all of these other things, and by poisoning the liver, we can lower the cholesterol level. Well, then they said, well, we can't have 230. We've got to get down to 200. And then, of course, at 200, they say, oh, we've got to get it down to 170. And what they're doing is they're doing it by poisoning your liver. Now, you need cholesterol. You get your cholesterol too low, why your brain doesn't function, and people are getting dementia from this. You put people on these statin drugs, and they get a very low CQ10 or CoQ10 level, and they have all sorts of heart problems with that. And then they're getting mental problems with that. And then
Were you saying CoQ10 is bad for you or good?
No, it's good for you. You need to take a supplement.
All right, now let me jump in here. I've got a personal problem here that I think that other people might be interested in hearing because I may not be the only one out there with this. My dad died at the age of 49 from a heart attack, and it was basically clogged arteries. My mom had a triple heart bypass, and both of them said it was high triglycerides. And about 2 years ago, I had my triglycerides checked, and they were 1,600, and they're not supposed to be over 160.
Right.
Now, I don't exactly understand the difference, but what I was explained to it is this way. Is too much cholesterol is like having too much oil in your blood. Too much triglycerides is like having chunks of paraffin floating around in it. So what is the cause of high triglycerides, and how is that different from cholesterol?
Well, some of it may very, very well be actually related to your genetics. You may have
genetics.
A tendency to have high triglycerides. If you've got a triglyceride that high, you need to get it down.
It's down, by the way, to like 230 now.
Okay, fine. How did you do that?
Well, exercise. I'm taking red yeast rice and pantothene, and if you name it in the natural realm, I'm probably doing it.
All right, fine. You really need to do that. You need to be on vitamin C and vitamin D and selenium and certainly magnesium. All of these things are important. You need to be taking some of the essential oils, natural the fish oil products like that, and that will really help you to get your cholesterol down
salmon
along
oil.
With your exercise.
Salmon oil, and I run a mile twice a week.
All right, fine. Well, you're doing the right thing, and if you have them down to 230 or less, I wouldn't worry about it. And probably your parents didn't do that. But the thing is that the dietary supplements will have such a beneficial effect on getting the cholesterol down and getting it under control. And you should be taking 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. And you should
3,000 morning and night.
Right. Great for you. Well, see, you are a living demonstration of what we're saying. And instead of taking all these medicines that are used to poison your system and get your cholesterol down, basically, if you don't have cholesterol, it's responsible for your hormones, your For instance, women will get real problems because they are not putting out estrogens, and men won't get their testosterone level. Why? Because when you poison the liver and you cut down the cholesterol, it's the cholesterol that produces the sex hormones. And here, once again, we have this wonderful plan of by altering the hormone levels in both men and women, why we decrease the sex urge, the ability to procreate, and we have a wonderful means of population control. But the average individual doesn't know that, and certainly the average doctor doesn't know that.
Well, I'm getting more convinced because, you know, I can certainly see the money aspect of it, but I know that they want to reduce the population too, so, hey, it looks like it's making sense.
Well, the thing is, if we only focus on the money aspect of it, we lose the entire vision of what's really going on. Money, for instance, people will explain wars on the basis of money. Yes, wars do make money for certain people. But it's like the old adage of, do the rain make wet streets or do the wet streets make rain? And I suggest that the end result has nothing to do with the cause. The reason that you have wet streets is because you have rain. And the reason that we have all these things being done at the highest level is to kill humanity. There really are evil and wicked people who would kill God's highest creation, which is humankind. And people said, I don't believe that. Well, I would simply answer, if you don't believe that, how do you explain abortion, where we've killed almost 50 million children in America? How do you explain the fact that we're financing abortion and similar things to prevent pregnancy all throughout the world? The United States spends over $400 million a year on population control throughout the world with forced abortion and forced injections of Depo-Provera or Norplant or IUDs or hysterectomies. All of these things are being financed with our tax money because that's the major objective of American foreign policy. And if any of your listeners doubt that, they need to go onto the Internet and look up the National Security Study Memorandum 200. Came out in 1974. It was top secret at the time. It's now been declassified. It is available on the Internet. NSSM, or National Security Study Memorandum 200, and it will tell you that the major thrust of American foreign policy is population control, and although they don't talk about population control in the United States, it should be pretty obvious that we're practicing it right here. And whether it's because we're poisoning our people with aspartame and MSG, or certainly the mercury in the vaccines decreases the sex response, or certainly the fluoride that they put in the water, and they know water fluoridation decreases fertility, they just don't want the American people to know. And they've convinced the dentists and the doctors of a lie.
Man, well, I can't wait to hear this talk. This is going to be, I mean, especially when I'm... Because it wasn't just a few years ago that my doctor, I have a friend that takes Lipitor. And he was telling me he had a heart attack and blah, 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 and this is really good stuff. And so I said, Doc, I want you to tell me about Lipitor. He said, you don't want to take that. I said, well, why? He said, well, it's got a lot of bad side effects. So I went on the Internet and looked it up, and it didn't have too many side effects listed, at least on the Internet. I mean, it did have some. But to hear you talk, it's, you can get killed trying to stay alive at your normal doctor's offices. That's
and it's
the scary
not that
part.
It's not the doctor is trying to harm you. I stress that.
Right, I agree.
He just doesn't know. And that's why you need to get the facts, and you need to get the information, and you need to let people understand what's going on, and you need to educate your doctor, because these are things he's never going to be told. He's told, oh, the people are doing these studies, they're so interested in helping you. Well, a lot of the people who are doing these studies are on the payroll of either the government or the drug companies.
Yeah, I don't think your average doctor that most of our folks are going to is thinking, oh, I'm going to subscribe this to this patient of mine so I can kill them. I think that they're just acting out of lack of information.
Absolutely, and I know because I know all the doctors in my community. I worked with them for 40 years, and they're my friends. But when they were trying to put me on the high blood pressure medication for a high blood pressure I'd had for 40 years, and they wanted to drop my systolic blood pressure down. And then I looked at the information they were giving me. I don't think that the average doctor has ever read the package insert and all of the complications that the medicines we use can create and produce.
Man, big problems. Big
and
problems.
I look back when I was practicing medicine, and I went along with a lot of these things, and I shudder to think of the harm I may have done to some people, simply because I did what everybody else was doing.
All right, let's talk about fluoridated water. Now, my understanding is this is being put in the city water supplies, and this is supposed to help our teeth get stronger. But you're going to say that's not accurate.
That's not accurate. I mean, this is really what the most incredible story, and it's really covered in a book called The Fluoride Deception. But what happened was back in Europe, back in the early decades of the 20th century, we're talking about 1910, 1920, and they were, you use fluoride in all sorts of chemical things. Fluoride is very important for the production of aluminum and steel and beryllium and cobalt, and when you smelt all of these things, you use fluoride because fluoride is the most active element in the periodic table, and it bonds with things, it will break up bonds. I mean, in the pure form, fluoride gas will eat right through steel. It'll etch glass. I mean, there's nothing to contain it. And so basically what was happening is the ore was coming out of Iceland, as I remember, and being taken to Germany and being smelted down so they could get the fluoride. And the fluoride would get into the air. A certain amount would escape from the smokestacks and would begin to poison people. And so by the 1930s, they realized in Europe that fluoride was a deadly toxin, and there were so many people who were being permanently damaged, heart-wise, lung-wise, mind-wise, that they began to limit the emissions. Well, here in the United States, when we began working on the atom bomb, they had to actually enrich the uranium and take the uranium ore and get the 235 out of it. And, of course, how do you do that? You do it with fluoride. And they were getting all sorts of problems in the areas adjacent to the plants where the fluoride, probably where the uranium-235 was being made, and that was in Oak Ridge, New Jersey. DuPont was doing this. And of course, the smoke would be coming out of the smokestacks and would begin killing all the fruit trees. It would begin killing the animals, and a lot of the people would develop severe health problems. So they had to come up with a solution. And they hired a man named Edward Bernays.
All right, I got to jump in here, Stan.
Well, they're going to have to come to hear the talk together.
That's right, and get the video or the DVD. All right, can you do another program after this?
I'm really not going to be able to because I've got to get ready for my own program.
Okay,
but,
all right.
We'll be glad to do it some other day.
Yes, let's do it some other day. In the meantime, God bless. Thanks for being on.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, Stan, welcome back to the Prophecy Club.
It's good to be with you.
All right, we're going to talk about immunizations and inoculations and vaccinations today. Tell us why and how they can use vaccinations to eliminate or reduce the population.
Well, it was Bertrand Russell, in writing in a book in 1953, called The Impact of Science on Society. And on page 50, he said, by the use of diet, injections, and injunctions, we can mold the character of the population. And so if you stop and think about it, well, diet, well, you put things into the water like fluoride, but injection, how would injections be used to mold the minds of the people? Well, what people do not understand is one of the greatest scams of modern time is the fact that all vaccinations are beneficial. Yes, certain of them have done wonderful things. Doing away with smallpox was one of the great accomplishments of modern medicine. The polio vaccine, a wonderful, wonderful thing. I mean, as an orthopedic surgeon, I was trained on taking care of the crippled bodies of people who had been injured by polio. And when I went to Africa and practiced medicine there, I had the opportunity to reconstruct so many of the deformed bodies and extremities of people. But what the average American has never been allowed to know, and which is actually covered in a book put out by the National Institute of Health, or financed by it, called The Health Century, is the fact that the original polio vaccine contained a cancer virus, and so many Americans are developing cancer today because of the simian virus 40 that was introduced into our population. And then, of course, they switched from growing the virus, the polio virus used in the vaccine, from the rhesus monkey to the green monkey. And then, of course, when we took the vaccine, we got all of the green monkey viruses, and they've infected the whole population of this country
with
animal viruses.
You mentioned that in a broadcast the other day, and I want to go back to that and ask you a question. Then, if cancer is a virus, is there something that can cure it?
No.
Well, that's a big question.
We are infected, and a large part of the population is infected with this simian virus 40, and it is in our bodies, and as we grow older.
And that was in the polio vaccine?
That was in the original polio vaccine.
Now, I took that a little pink drop on a little sugar cube when I was a kid.
That's right.
And it was
in that. It was a live virus. They knew it was in there. And even after it became very obvious it was in there, why they continued using it here in the United States and throughout the world for a number of years. But they've kept this secret from the American people. It takes many years to develop the cancer. You know, you go back to 1909, it was about one in every 30 people had cancer. Today it's one in three, rapidly moving to one in two, and at least part of this rapid increase in the incidence of cancer can be directly attributed to the fact that there was a cancer-producing virus in the polio vaccine. So the American people have not been told. For a source of reference, a book actually financed by the National Institute of Health called The Health Century, another book on the virus and the vaccine. People need to get the facts. Everything is being done by the National Institute of Health, by the CDC, to keep the American people from realizing.
The guys that are supposed to be the watchdogs are actually turned into our enemy.
Absolutely. In fact, many of these people who work for the National Institute of Health are actually on the payroll of the drug companies that produce the very vaccines that are bothering us. And,
all right, then what about immunizations when we take our children in? You know, you almost have to have your children vaccinated to get them into school these days.
Well, I know, but fortunately there is a religious exemption, and you can get that religious exemption and say it's against my religion, and literally in every state you can avoid it. Now, why should we avoid childhood vaccines? Well, first of all, one in six American children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality and or behavioral abnormality, and most of this is directly attributable to the vaccines. And they've known that they were damaging our children. They put a methylate into this. Methylate, they call it thimerosal, but many, many years ago, why methylate was outlawed, because it was too toxic to put on the skin. They outlawed it back in the early 1960s. And yet, of course, they continued putting it in the vaccines. Why? Because it contains mercury, and mercury affects the mind. It also affects reproduction. It also produces cancers. It has a devastating effect on the body, and they've been putting toxic doses of mercury in the vaccines ever since the 1930s, and they knew exactly what they were doing, and the CDC database showed this. And they've done everything they could to conceal the fact and the truth from the American people. And
what you're basically saying is don't let anybody put a needle in you unless you know what's going in.
Absolutely, and you don't know because you cannot trust them. We know, for instance, that I've talked to doctors from both the Philippines and Kenya. In both of those countries and probably in others as well, they put a chorio-gonadotropin into the tetanus toxoid. They went into the countries with the World Health Organization, and they say, we're from the World Health Organization, and we're here to help you. So all women in childbearing age, not men, of course, but women in childbearing age, you're going to get a free tetanus immunization so that your children will not get tetanus when they're born, infections of the umbilical cord were not too infrequent in these countries, and of course this would result in tetanus in the newborn child and they would die. So they offered free tetanus toxoid. The only trouble was that the women who took these had miscarriages and were not able to carry children to term. And in both countries, when they checked the vaccine, why they found it contained a chorio-gonadotropin, which is something that is produced during pregnancy what they were doing is making the women allergic to their own hormones that would protect their unborn children and causing miscarriages. They knew exactly what they were doing. And when this was pointed out, the officials from the World Health Organization said, gee, how did that get into those vaccines? Why, we can't. We wouldn't have done that. Well, I would like to suggest that they knew exactly what they were doing, because I personally talked to one of the leading vaccine experts here in this country, and I had him as a guest on my program, and we were going along fine until I asked him that question, and he suddenly shouted into the telephone, I can't hear you, I can't hear you. He hung up, and he was never available again. The elite understand what they're doing. They just don't want us common folks to know what they're doing. And so they have put these things into the vaccines. We know, for instance, of the original hepatitis B experimental vaccine, and that, of course, was given to homosexuals in San Francisco and in New York. It is not simply by coincidence that the first cases of AIDS occurred in San Francisco and New York in homosexuals. And we have the government's own statistics that of the homosexuals who were foolish enough to take the experimental hepatitis B vaccine in San Francisco, 75% contracted AIDS, and most of them are dead. Same thing happened in Africa. The areas where the incidence of AIDS is very, very high were the areas where they used this hepatitis B vaccine. Now, they've tried to confuse the issue by saying, oh, it was in the polio vaccine, or it was in the smallpox vaccine. They've done everything to put out all sorts of false information, but of course the HIV apparently was in the initial vaccine, because 75% of the homosexuals that took that experimental hepatitis B vaccine contracted AIDS in San Francisco, and most are dead. We have this, the government reports. Now, I would simply point out that, you know, the hepatitis B vaccine, which is now being required for students going into college, why they have shown that it triples the incidence of multiple sclerosis. In other words, if you take that vaccine, your chance of getting MS triples. Why would you give something like that? This is a vaccine. It is a gene that causes something called molecular mimicking. You inject it into the body. The body develops an immunity to this gene, but the protein in that gene is similar to the protein that surrounds the myelin sheath of your nerves. And now you suddenly begin to attack your own body. And that is the danger with all of these vaccines. Since we started the vaccines, there's been a massive increase in allergy, a massive increase in asthma, a massive increase in diabetes within our population. But the most frightening thing is, of course, that since we started the vaccines, and especially when they began to increase the number of vaccines that contain the thimerosal, the mercury in it, a phenomenal increase in autism. And it went from about 1 in 10,000 cases, which were a very rare disease, to a situation where we have 1 in about 160 children. And since the disease is far more common in boys, it means that certainly far less than 1 in every 100 boys born in America today. Prior to the point where they began taking this out of the vaccines about the year 2003, less than 1 in 100 boys developed autism. I talked to a woman the other day. We did a program. She had two sons, both with autism. One was 11. She said, I just finished changing his diaper. He has never spoken. The other is 14. He's a high-functioning autism. In other words, he only has some defect, but the other boy, 11. And, of course, the unconscionable thing is they know, the government officials know exactly what they've done. They've destroyed the minds of so many children. And they're saying, but we can assure you it's not their mercury. Don't get treatment. And yet the treatment, in many instances, are very effective. And then they say, well, we wouldn't lie to you. We would never want to hurt children. And I would say, do you believe there are people who want to hurt children? I mean, we've killed in the utero 50 million children in this country, and there are people who really want to kill children. That's what partial birth abortion is all about. Oh, they want to kill children because they are inherently evil. We have financed the murder of literally hundreds of millions of unborn children throughout the world with American money that has been used for worldwide family planning, which is simply a cover name for abortion. And here in the United States, they have damaged the minds of a whole generation of our children by giving them toxic doses of mercury. Much of this goes into the brain. Now, some children have the ability to excrete the mercury, and they don't get the autism. Those that cannot excrete it, and this is a congenital abnormality or a metabolic abnormality, they maintain it. They get much higher levels. They develop the brain lesions. This is a reversible process in many instances. If treatment is started early, and the government is doing everything they can to block that sort of treatment. And coordinating with the mass media, Time Magazine, New York Times, all of the publications, perhaps in the early part of the year 2005, came out literally every major network on television, every major publication and magazine came out with articles on autism, almost as if somebody had given an order. And they said, isn't it terrible? We got this epidemic of autism, but we can guarantee it is not related to the thimerosal in the vaccine, and you should not get your child treated. Knowing full well that the treatments are effective and many of the children are helped, and some of the children with severe autism have been returned to functional human beings. Why would anybody do something like this? Because they're inherently evil, and when you recognize they're evil, many of these people who say, we would never want to hurt children, and yet they're pro-choice here in the United States, of course, and they want the children to be aborted. They certainly do everything they can to allow continued partial birth abortion. And they think, we're concerned about women. And yet the International Planned Parenthood, funded by the United States government until very recently, has been coordinating the one-child policy in communist China, where there is no choice at all. Now, we could talk so much about the vaccines as they've been used throughout the world. For instance, in China today, there are 700 million Chinese who contracted hepatitis B. How did they spread the disease that far in China? Why, they say they gave vaccines there, but aw shucks, they didn't know any better, and they used dirty needles. They used them over and over again. Now, needles don't cost that much. I mean, the vaccine shot cost about $1, and yet they couldn't spend a penny to get a clean needle. They knew exactly what they were doing. And there are about 100 million people in China today who have active hepatitis B, and many of them are going to die of that. How could you have a program like this where you infected so many people unintentionally? Well, remember what Bertrand Russell talked about, how they were going to use diet and injections and injunctions to alter society. They know exactly what they're doing. There are 200 million people throughout the world who have hepatitis C. How did they get hepatitis C? Most of them got it from the use of dirty needles.
I talked to a fellow the other day that says that in other countries they have different electronic and magnetic and all kinds of, Rife machines and all of these different gadgets and gizmos and drops and potions and lotions that can fix a lot of these things, but you can't get them into America. You have to go to another country to get healed of things like cancer. And as a matter of fact, what I was told was this is there's a place in, I believe it was Germany, that a lot of doctors go for a vacation. And, of course, they don't go to just vacation. They go to get cured of things like cancer. Because they absolutely will not let them into America.
There are treatments that are available that they will not allow into America. And, of course, there is a Dr. Richard Day who actually worked for Planned Parenthood. And back in 1969, he gave a talk, I believe it was in the early part of May of 1969, to a group of doctors, where he said he was going to tell them what the future held. And one of the things was there were too many people in the world, there were treatments for cancer, and they were going to be actively suppressed because the people were going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. And there was a Dr. Dunnigan who was in attendance at that meeting, and of course I've actually interviewed him, and maybe you'd like to track him down and interview him. But he talked about Dr. Richard Day's talk at that time, talking about how they were going to create new diseases to kill large numbers of people. Dr. Richard Day was the medical director for Planned Parenthood in 1969. And we've told this story many times. Nobody's ever challenged it. It's simply that the media will not look into this. Because here's a man who admitted that they're suppressing treatments for cancer in the United States. Dr. Brzezinski, who's down in, I believe, in Houston, has very effective treatments for cancer. The government tried to put him in prison. Why? Not because his treatments weren't good, because he was saving human lives, and specifically, he was saving the lives of children with brain cancer, and they knew his treatments were effective, and they didn't want those out in America. There were other treatments, the Hoxie treatment, not allowed in America. It was very effective many years ago. Alectinib was very beneficial. It's not allowed in the United States. And actually, I had the number two man at the National Cancer Institute, Dr. Dean Burke, called me one morning, and he was the chief researcher at NCI, and he said Laetril is far better than the chemotherapy that we have available in the United States, and they won't allow it. And so I asked him, I said, what about the studies done at Sloan Kettering? We've heard that showed Laetril didn't work. And he said they fixed those scientific studies because they did not want that to be allowed in the United States. And people say, why would anybody be that wicked that would want people to die of this terrible disease? And I would simply ask the question, why did the incidence of cancer go from about 1 in 30 down to where it is today, 1 in 3? Very simply, because there really are wicked people who are unconcerned about human suffering. And when you understand that, when you understand that there is a genocidal agenda out there that was simply revealed by Jacques Cousteau in an article that appears in the UNESCO Courier in November of 1991. That's the UNESCO Courier, November of 1991, where Jacques Cousteau is quoted as saying, there are too many people in the world, we're going to have to eliminate 350,000 people a day. It's a terrible thing to say. We're going to have to eliminate 350,000 people a day. You would think that, you know, that Time Magazine or Newsweek or Walter Cronkite might have picked that up and told the American people about
60
it.
60 Minutes, rather, 2020, Dateline, all of the watchdogs, but none of them bark.
But you see, they're not going to tell the American people that there is a genocidal agenda that is in force today. And until people understand that there really are people who want to kill off a large part of our population and want to harm our children, and they're using vaccinations, and the childhood vaccinations, they knew were destroying the minds of our children, and they're lied about it in the past. Supposedly, they've taken the thimerosal out of the childhood vaccination here in the United States, and yet they're leaving it in for the children in Africa and in other third world countries to destroy their minds. But for those of you who think that we have nothing to worry about, they have left the thimerosal in the hepatitis B that they're giving to adults. They've left it in the influenza vaccine. We're told, of course, that we should always give our child, if we really love them, the influenza vaccine if they're 6 months old, knowing they're going to get toxic doses of thimerosal. And, of course, for the elderly, the elderly have to take their influenza vaccine. And yet, if you look at Dr. Fudenberg's work, Dr. Fudenberg is one of the deans of vaccinology, with most of the textbooks on it. He's in his 80s. And he has written in paper, we have the copy of the abstract, and in that he says if you are between 60 and 65 and you have taken 3 to 4 influenza injections over a 5-year period, 10 years down the line, why the incidence of Alzheimer's disease increases 1,000%. And why would they want that? Why? Because when you have Alzheimer's disease, why you die much sooner than if you live to a ripe old age. And why is that important? Why are Social Security systems going broke? These people are useless eaters. These people aren't producing anymore.
That's right.
They're not paying Social Security tax. And there really are wicked people. They know the harm that you will get. And that is Dr. Fudenberg's work. It's up on the web. And, of course, this is an abstract of an article he has written. The influenza vaccine increases the incidence of Alzheimer's disease 1,000%.
All right, Dr. Stan, hang on. We'll make another program right after this. Folks, you've been listening to Dr. Stan Monteith. He's making a videotape with us August 20th on planned population reduction. Welcome back to the Prophecy Club.
It's good to be with you.
All right, we wanted to talk about genetically altered seeds. Now, as I understand, this is my, and I'm not a farmer, so there's probably a lot more deeper stuff that I know about it, but what I understand is these guys grab up the, let's take, for example, corn. They would pull off the tassels off of corn, off of this brand, and go over and sprinkle it on that brand, but I bet you're going to tell me it's a whole lot more complicated than that, right?
Well, for years, we've had farmers trying to create better corn, a better product, and they did it certainly by creating hybrids and by cross-fertilization. But they never tried to change the genetic makeup of products until recently when they've had the ability to do this, and they've invested literally hundreds of millions of dollars.
Okay, so this is not just cross-pollinization.
No, this is not cross-pollinization. This is actually inserting genes into the various food products. And for instance, they have something called Roundup Ready crops. And they've done this with canola, they've done it with soy products, they've done it with corn. And what they have done is they have inserted a specific genes into the crops so that you can spray them with Roundup, which is a herbicide, and it doesn't hurt the crops. Well, you know, but what does it do when you change the genetic makeup? And quite frankly, we don't know. We do know that there have been instances, for instance, where pigs have been fed some of this genetically altered corn, and the pigs couldn't reproduce, and some of the pig farmers went bankrupt because they were using this type of genetically altered corn, and what happened was the male pigs just couldn't produce sperm. But then if you believe in population control, this is very good.
Oh.
We do not know the long-term results of genetically altering food.
Well, you know, I saw a program the other day that they were talking about that there's a higher instance these days of men that they don't have the capability of reproduction, and their sperm count is way down, or maybe no sperm at all.
Well, of course, but there's so many things. They do this with water fluoridation. They know water fluoridation decreases sperm count and sperm motility. The mercury that we're getting so much of in so many products decreases sperm motility. NutraSweet and MSG and soy products decrease the sperm count. And then, of course, we have our effect on a genetically modified food. We do not know. They've done a few animal studies on some of these products, and then they've released them on the whole world. Now, you say, well, they wouldn't release something that would be harmful, and I would like to suggest, why wouldn't they do that? The major thrust of American foreign policy is population control throughout the world. And there are people who'd like to get the world population down to 2 billion, to 1 billion, to 500 million. You only need to go to Elberton, Georgia, to see the Georgia Guide stones, or the so-called American Stonehenge, where chiseled in stone in 8 different languages is the message: maintain the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature, which doesn't sound too bad until you realize they're talking about killing off over 90% of the world population. Now, nobody knows who put up the money for the Georgia Guidestones. The man who came to town used his pseudonym, and nobody is allowed to know. It's a very mysterious situation. It is a satanic monument, and there have been satanic ceremonies there and witches meetings there. I've been to Elberton, Georgia. I've been to the files there at the local library. And everybody, I will tell you, in Elberton is almost afraid to talk about the monument. I've talked to people, and until they knew I was a Christian, they were quite frankly afraid to talk to me. So there were other people, like Ted Turner at one time, suggested we ought to get the world population down to 200 million. He's upped the number from there, I think up to a couple of billion. Certainly David Foreman is quoted in a book called Set Up and Sold Out as wanting to get the world population down to 100 million.
Wow.
There are people who have a different world perspective. So when we talk about these things that are being done, really, they certainly are not telling us the truth. There's a new product that's out now.
Just a second. Stan, don't you think that sometimes Christians tend to be naive?
Well, I think they're incredibly naive because our Christian leadership is not warning the people about what's going to happen. They're telling them, oh, nothing bad is ever going to happen to Christians. Why, the Lord wouldn't do that. He's blessed America, and he's going to, before anything bad happens to the world, why, all of the Christians are going to be whisked out of here. Now, if you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, as some of my friends do, and some people don't believe in it, but where does it say in the scriptures that America is going to come under judgment and be destroyed, and maybe the pre-trib rapture will come 30 years after America has been destroyed, or maybe the pre-trib rapture position is wrong? I often remember Dr. Walter Martin, the Bible answer man, who certainly was a great theologian, far smarter than most people and far smarter than I am. And his wonderful statement that he had read the Bible and studied the scriptures, he found nothing there that convinced him there would be a pre-tribulation rapture, but he prayed he was wrong. So be that as it may, the problem that you point out is that the Christians are not involved. They are not concerned, and there really are wicked people out there who are doing terrible things to the health of the American people. And all we need to do is look at the rising rates of asthma and allergy and autoimmune disease and cancer and diabetes and obesity and Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease and degenerative diseases. Yes, we're healthier now than we ever have been before. But why are all these diseases increasing, and why is autism increasing to the point where today in the United States, 1 in 6 children as either a neurodevelopmental or behavioral abnormality. This was never true today, and it's not true in other countries. It is simply true here in America. Well, we were talking about what's happening as far as the genetically altered foods. Now, one of the great new developments that they're bringing in is they are putting a pesticide into every ear of corn, every cob of corn. Everything in the genetic makeup of that corn stalk is going to contain a new molecule which will kill caterpillars. Caterpillars, of course, have been a pest and gotten into corn. And I can remember years ago when you'd get ears of corn, and they would have a little of the end maybe would be eaten off. You might even find an occasional caterpillar. You don't find them today, partly because they've been using the pesticides and spraying the crops, but now they've come up with something even better. And Monsanto has introduced a genetically modified corn. And the genetically modified corn, the caterpillar, if it eats anything there on the husk or a kernel of corn, why, the caterpillar dies, because it is in every kernel of corn. Now, what happens, though, when we eat the corn? Well, Monsanto has done several very limited animal studies on rats, and they found that there were definite changes in the cells, in the white cells of the rats, certainly in the size of the kidneys. But Monsanto will not release these studies because they say, after all, this is proprietary information. And they have concealed what their studies showed.
Well, Stan, how can we know if we are buying this genetically altered fruits and vegetables and things?
Most of the corn you get today is modified in one way or another, either with the Roundup Ready crops. In other words, the crops, you can spray them with Roundup, it won't do any harm. And then, of course, they're beginning to introduce this into others, and you are not allowed to know. In fact,
and it's not just about making money, it's about killing people.
I believe that there is a genocidal agenda out there, and until people understand that, until they understand there truly are wicked people who have no concern for human life, who actually have specialized laboratories, who have business meetings, who have progress charts, and they're looking to see what a great job they're doing. And people understand that. They can't understand most of what's going on today, or why 1 in 6 American children has a neurodevelopmental or behavioral abnormality. There really are wicked people who are harming our children.
Well, and our hospitals are full. I mean, these days, and our whole health system is overloaded. People are sick constantly. They are, all the time.
Well,
I mean, there's got to be a problem.
The most frequent cause of death in intensive care today is antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And tens of thousands of people die every year of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. What they do not tell you is that when they modify many of our crops and many of our foods, one of the carriers that they use is an antibiotic-resistant factor that they're putting into our food that will actually help these various microbes and bacteria to alter themselves so they can become antibiotic-resistant. And the individual does not understand the implications of genetic engineering. God had a plan, and God was able to maintain humanity here on Earth for 6,000 years. Humans beings were protected by their immune system. Animals were protected by their immune system. Even crops were protected by inherent immunity in the various food products. And now we're altering that.
Wow.
Man is coming in, and he's beginning to introduce new genes to change God's plan for humanity, and change this whole balance. And whether they're introducing the gene that will make the crops Roundup ready, or will it put in pesticides that will kill caterpillars, or they're giving all sorts of specialized hormones to our cows so they'll actually produce more in the way of milk. But of course, there are complications to all of these things, and these are well known. There's a wonderful book called Seeds of Deception, I believe it is, by Jeffrey Smith. He is excellent. Greg Sciola has written a book entitled GMOs, Beware of Genetically Altered Food. The information is out there. But the American people are not getting this, and they're being told by the government, oh, we're here to protect you. Why, we would never allow anything that was harmful. And yet I will tell you, over in Europe, the people are frightened to death. The people there don't want genetically modified food, and they're told, you don't have the right to know it's genetically modified because we're from the government, and we're telling you.
Wow.
It is not good for you to know.
Wow.
So, and
what about soy products?
Beg your pardon?
What about soy products?
Well, the soy products, they're products in soy that influence every aspect of our lives, and they can influence our fertility as well. And like MSG and NutraSweet, which are excitotoxins, they can affect fertility, they can affect the mind, and certainly they can are carcinogenic, and they know this, and they're suppressing the information from the American people. Soy products are not good for you. They are not healthy, and yet they're being encouraged in America today.
Yeah, I mean, that's what everybody says. I mean, you go to the health food stores, and they're big on soy products.
No, they are. And of course, they have all the same drawbacks as MSG does.
All right, what are the drawbacks of MSG?
See, excitotoxins actually, attack and destroy nerve cells. Now, we know that there were studies done back in 1970 and again in 1980 by the doctor Olney, who was using MSG. And what is MSG? Monosodium glutamate. And the glutamate is, of course, what comes out of the soy products. And they found that animals, it produced a lesion in the brain that led to pathological obesity. And what are we seeing across America today?
Pathological obesity. That's right.
And they're blaming it on Colonel Sanders. They're blaming it on Burger King.
McDonald's.
They're blaming it on, mm-hmm. on McDonald's. But they never mention that it is the aspartame, that the NutraSweet, the MSG, and the soy products that actually produce brain lesions that lead to this.
But now, McDonald's does have soy in their burgers. Is that not correct?
They may very well. I've heard that, yes.
I think
and these are certainly not beneficial for you. I don't know whether McDonald's uses MSG. Fortunately, Burger King doesn't use MSG. My son is very allergic to MSG, and at least he can use the Burger King products without any difficulty. So,
all right, now, let's go back to MSG. I know that when you go to, for example, the Chinese and even some Japanese places, it looks like great food. You've got all these vegetables, rice and everything, but then they just soak it in MSG.
Right.
Why do they do that?
Well, because it's a taste enhancer. It really does increase the taste. But the MSG is an excitotoxin, and it acts on the brain. And as your taste is enhanced, it's actually destroying nerve cells.
Well, when I eat MSG, I get a nosebleed.
Well, you should not be eating MSG.
No, I don't.
In fact, you really, when you go to a Chinese restaurant, you say,
no,
I don't want
MSG.
Any MSG in there. And some of the Chinese restaurants will stay away from it. But if you don't know, or if you're going to one that's using it, because it gives you great taste, but it is also terribly dangerous to your health. Because this is carcinogenic. The studies are out there that show these things are carcinogenic. They just don't want the American people to know. As we pointed out in earlier programs, you go back to the early 1900s, 1 in 30 people got cancer. And today, here in the United States, 1 in 3 gets cancer. Soon it'll be 1 in 2.
I've got to say this. You know, you said that the American pastors just won't let people speak out on this truth. And what they tell their people, well, you don't need to know all about that stuff. All you need to do is just know Jesus. Well, that's not exactly true if they're drinking fluoridated water, soy products, genetically altered seeds, using cell phones, and all these other... it is hurting them by not knowing this information.
It certainly is.
It's killing them.
And we could just touch on cell phones. There are scientific studies that show an increase in brain cancer with people who are constantly using cell phones or the portable phones. There was a study done up at the University of Washington that showed that the cell phones actually produced damage to the DNA of the tissues of the brain. And actually, every effort was done to suppress that. In fact, I have an article out of the University of Washington alumni report pointing out that they had been threatened and that they were told they would lose the grants from the telephone companies and communication countries, the large grants that would be given to the University of Washington if they allowed this research to go forward, if they allowed it to be published. And they did the unthinkable. They did the right thing, and they went ahead and said, we're going to put this information out. Now, admittedly, it's been suppressed across America. They don't want the American people to know this, but you can go up on the Internet, and there are all sorts of articles there. Thank goodness for the Internet. The information is available, but the average American feels this could not be possible. The government would not allow something that was harmful, would they? And I would like to suggest they would not only would, they would actually encourage it, because there are wicked people there. Now, certainly if you're going to use the cell phone a great deal, why, there are certain little deals you can get with a little speaker and a little deal that goes into your ear where you don't have the receiver right up against your head. And
so just keep the antenna away from your head then.
Sure.
All right, well, I'm convinced. I mean, I have a cell phone, but I use it very little.
Right.
But I've been thinking about getting one of those little things you clip on your ear, but I'm such a tightwad. I haven't done it. But I guess I probably will now. That way I don't have to have my cell phone close to my head.
Right. I mean, if you're going to use it very occasionally, you're not going to get into a problem. But, there's some people that they have that cell phone in their hand all the time, and you really need to warn them about this. But, and they can go up on the Internet. The stories are there. The research was done. The man who was actually hired by Motorola to prove that these were safe found they weren't safe, and they fired him. And he's been trying to get the information out. And, there are people out there who can get on and give you the scientific analysis and scientific studies that will show these are not safe. The government knows they're not safe, but because of the degree of the control over the American media.
So the Americans shoot the watchmen, don't they? They shoot the barking dogs.
That's what you need. That's what you are, Stan.
Yeah.
And thank goodness that you're out there getting the truth out through your radio programs.
And likewise with yours, too. You know, so cell phones. Now, I had one of our guests say that they're on, I think it was like 800 megahertz. You'd probably know better than I.
No, that is a little out beyond my expertise, but we do have...
He said the specific frequency.
The right.
Specific frequency
right.
Was exactly the frequency that our brain operates
sure.
on. And so they put this device right next to our head that is the same frequency that our brain operates on, and it could cause all kinds of problems.
It can cause DNA damage. It can cause a metal changes, and it can certainly cause tumors. They know this. They just don't want the American people to know it. And when you control the media, then you determine what the American people hear, what they read, what they see, and ultimately what they believe.
Well, as a matter of fact, our September speaker is going to be talking on our controlled media. As a matter of fact, maybe you even know her, Gianni Hayes?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
She is a good speaker because I think this is so important. People have to understand that our minds are molded, our tastes are formed, our ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of. And that was written actually 76 years ago by a man named Edward Bernays, who was actually hired by the American Tobacco Company to sell the American people on cigarettes, to get women to smoke. And he used those slogans, reach for a smoke, not a sweet. He equated lucky strikes with women's liberation and with feminism and with oral gratification. He was hired by the U.S. Public Health Service to sell the American people on water fluoridation. He was hired during World War I to convince the American people we had to go to war to fight, and the war to end all wars, and the war to make the world safer democracy. He was hired by the United Fruit Company to get the American people to support a Guatemalan revolution back in the 1950s that killed, hundreds of thousands of people, and of course supported by the CIA. He was hired by the General Electric and Procter & Gamble. But he wrote those words, we are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of.
I imagine so Carol Quigley would have something to say about that too, wouldn't he?
He sure would. Of course, Carol Quigley really identified with the elite. He felt that the American people were too dumb to be able to look after themselves. He supported this idea of a ruling elite. The only thing he disagreed with, he thought that the common people should really understand who it was who had created this move towards the world government, and they should know about the secret society that Cecil Rhodes had formed. And Professor Quigley didn't understand. The American people were never to understand that.
So wonder he didn't make that
bed. The ruling elite that control our destiny.
All right, well, Stan, once again, I appreciate you so much being on. We'll have to have you on again.
It's always a pleasure to be with you.
God bless you, and I'll see you August 20th.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, bless you then.
Bye-bye.